Hey, I just wanted to pop in here real quick, talk about this interview I had. It was really great interview, a lot of fun with Dave Richards, the founder of the MK837 record label. We had a lot of fun, great conversation. We talked about things back from the Cornerstone Music Festival from the late 90s to his record label, what's going on. And hey, if you listen towards the very end, he shares a link with you that you're able to get 10 free music tracks. Hey, thanks so much for listening and enjoy the interview. Welcome to No Longer Hopeless. I'm your host, Lane Mercer, co-founder of L&L Ministries. This podcast is a place where you can come to get encouragement and hope restored. We showcase that there's always hope to be found for the right here and right now in the Lord. Let's get started, shall we?
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to No Longer Hopeless podcast. Really glad you're here. If you've had a good day, a good week, a good month, even a good year, I'm really glad you're here. But if you've not had a good day, a good week, good month, even a good year, I'm really glad you're here because everyone deserves the chance to be no longer hopeless. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. I am really excited, very honored. We got a great guest today for this episode. This is a one I'm really, really excited about, looking forward to, and you guys are going to really be blessed by. I have the honor to speak to, and the great thing about this interview is I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to let our guest speak, because nothing like an interview where the guest listens the entire time. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have our guest speak, and this is none other than the Dave Richards. So hey, Dave, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, my friend. Good to have you. What I would like you to do is tell us, what is your story?
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. What is my story? How far back do we really want to go?
I'll leave it to you.
Well, okay. So
back in the garden.
Back in the garden, I was not there. God knew I would be eventually, though. So I'm deeply, deeply, distantly related to Adam.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, I'm Dave Richards, born kind of in Chicago, grew up in North Carolina, and, finished growing up here in Atlanta, Georgia. Grew up in a family where, of course, I got a mom and dad. They miraculously did not get a divorce. The thing I don't talk about as often is I had a sister. She died when I was like 5 months, and she was 5 years old in a freak car accident.
Wow.
So that's a little weird, because I've got a sibling that I have essentially never really met, and that's weird to me and probably other people. So that's kind of shaped a lot of my outlook on life, I guess, to some degree, and I'm not sure how they shaped it, but it's probably gave me some struggles with my relationship with who God is, and definitely a hole in my heart since I don't have that. But through God's grace, eventually I realized I needed Him, and I'd grown up in a church, and then I quickly learned that Gullible is written on the ceiling. It's just kind of funny, because I'm in church one day, and the pastor, who was interim at that time, was talking about Revelation and all the end times stuff, and it's your standard hellfire brimstone type thing. So I go out and just kind of white knuckled it through the old Baptist invitation, stuff like that. Walking to school on Monday morning, and there's a rumor that Jesus is coming back that day, and it's all over the school. And back in the 80s, you hadn't heard it 50,000 times when you're in middle school. And so that's when I kind of decided I better get right with God. And the noon passed, and I was still here, and I realized, oh, I got to do something now. So the fun part is I really didn't tell anybody until I moved down to Atlanta from Greensboro. And Yeah, that's when I started. Everybody else I thought at my church thought I was a Christian already, except for my parents. God. And anyway, so I joined a church when we found one down here and got baptized and have been, you know, pretty public about my faith ever since then. So that's kind of the testimony story.
Sure.
I started praying for my wife when I was 12 and, you know, met her my first day at the university, met her at the Baptist Student Union. Tip to anybody who is still looking, wear a wooden handmade cross. The women that come up to you and say, "I like your cross, did you make it?" in those specific words are worth dating.
Okay, noted.
I can tell you from personal experience that has happened several times. It happened with my wife, and that was the last time it happened. Let's see what else happened. Anyway, so we've tomorrow is the 20th, so the 21st Thursday we'll be celebrating our 26th year of marriage.
Dude, awesome. That's congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's been fun and challenging. Music wise, so what Ling didn't tell you was I'm kind of a DJ and producer for house music, but I got involved in listening to Christian techno and whatnot in 92, 93. Yep. Started off with Jared Ellix, you know, Mortal Before Mortal.
Yeah,
you know, right. Who they are.
I do,
and then got in, of course, Prodigal Son, Scott Blackwell. Prophecy, Panic, and all the rest.
I'll tell you real quick, as a quick pause,
yeah, just
a nod to you. So my very, very first, you know, you always remember your first, like, what's your first CD or first track, tape or anything? First CD I ever bought my own money, I was ecstatic with Scott Blackwell, Walk on the Wild Side. I couldn't wait. That was like my, I love, I know all the names you're listening, but Scott Blackwell always is a special place because he was my first. I saved up money, man, for this CD. That was my first CD. Anyway, go ahead.
No, that's kind of funny because I remember, like, back in the days, it was like $10 for a tape off Diamante that was distributor back then. And then and then it was like $12 or $15 for a CD.
Yes.
You know, and you know Stranger Things, right?
Yeah.
You know the fourth season or third season where they're in the shopping mall?
Yeah.
Dude, that was my mall.
Oh, wow. Right.
So, yeah. So, like, in the scene where they're in the food court doing the fight against that monster, that actually is the food court there.
That's so crazy.
I had gone back to that mall before they started shooting that. I just happened to, you know, it's a dead mall. I just happened to be walking around, all of a sudden I saw this construction. I walked into that area and I just noticed, you know, wait a second, Walden Books, they're no longer in business. What's going on? Wicks and Sticks, they're not in this mall. What's going on? I was like, JCPenney was still in the same spot where it's supposed to be. I'm like, why has it got the 80s logo? Oh my. So I, like, didn't clue in at all. It's just like, they're reviving the mall. That's cool. And they were still building the set for that. They hadn't, like, blocked the whole thing off. And like, the next day it's announced
that they're filming it
there. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. But so if you're watching that, the Family Christian Stores, if you remember them, their store was on the second floor above the food court there where the escalator is.
Okay.
And I can't believe I'm able to tell you this much detail, but no. So I remember distinctly going up there week after week looking for something new.
Yeah.
And, you know, picking up all sorts of just, you know, albums up there. You know, like was it White Heart? Yeah, it's White Heart.
Oh yeah.
White Heart. What's the one with the not Tales of Wonder, the one after that where it was a guy with the bagpipes on it?
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, so that, but one in particular I remember is I got Prophecy Panic's first CD there.
Okay.
And just remember going down stairs to the food court immediately afterwards, ripping the cellophane off of that, saving the Diamante sticker because I had to have that to get my free CDs.
Right.
And, I miss those days. So, and then just looking down at the little raver dude cartoon that's on the back of that.
Yes.
And going, I want that guy. I want that as a sticker or something. So anyway, that's that. But eventually, you know, the internet came out. I got found Insole Records website, hung out the message boards there for a little while that they had set up. They were very crudely set up.
Very crudely.
And, you know, that's when I met a couple of other guys around here. And then slowly but surely got involved in what became Tasty Fresh. And when Jamie Wright started their forums and I was getting interacting with them all there, eventually, for some reason, Jamie decided to turn the whole site over to me. And then, for better or for worse, I decided to turn it into a blog. And then I don't know whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. To this day, it's still kind of hard for me to evaluate it. But I got a couple of guys together, and we did brutally honest reviews. And we pretty much ticked off everybody that was releasing dance music at that point on the Christian side.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to face the truth that we had a lot of growing up to do when it came to our production skills.
You're right.
So that hurt some relationships. Fortunately, for the most part, a lot of them have been rebuilt.
Good.
But there's still a few other people out there. But, you know, things kind of spiraled out of control for some of that community. We went through several splits, I think, at least one big one. And, you know, it came down to there was a huge divide over whether this was supposed to be a worship movement that's more charismatic in nature or a more serious evangelistic type deal.
Right.
And that pretty much was the final nail in the coffin for what I think was going to turn out to be a actual Christian cleaner movement. And I could have just been blind to the whole thing myself. But it seemed like we were on the verge of making some real progress, and then it all just kind of blew up. Between that stuff going on, the economy turning bad during the Obama years, and just about every single Christian music festival going out of business.
Yep.
So
one thing I remember, just because I've tracked with you and followed you just throughout the years of Tasty Fresh and different things, but I remember the Cornerstone Festival that you guys would put out the Afterglow and put out the mix, and then eventually started hosting the tent for that. And just it was an incredible time.
You never got to go to those, did you?
I did not. No,
you missed out. I mean, not to like brag, but every year was like a series of miracles that we pulled it off and nobody got injured.
Oh, wow.
it's just kind of those things. It's like, you know, like Kevin Neely and I would go up there, and you know, or Kevin O'Neill, if you know.
Right.
Yeah, but he and I would get up there and like, what are we doing? Yeah. We'd come up there, the DJ booth would be missing. And we're like, why is it missing? And it was because the guy ran the movies. This is when we were still in the barn. The guy who did the movies during the day hated us. And he decided to clean out the barn and throw everything away. And he found the DJ booth and he threw it away.
Oh, wow.
By the time we found it, it was on the burn pile and on fire. So, quite literally, we found the DJ booth. That's the good news. The bad news is it's on fire.
And we actually mean that literally.
Literally. It was not a joke. It was on fire. So we had no DJ booth. So what we had to do was we did get a couple of folding tables. We kind of used some X stands and set up right on the concrete. And then there was this little small stage, small, like 2 feet off the ground stage. And we set up some other people back there so you could have mobile sets. But we had, you know, we put Strike and some other guys just right down on the floor. And so they were at eye level with everybody else. And the crowd was just going wild in there. Like another year, we had a new DJ booth built. And we came in with our lighting guy, who was Jeremy Kanger at the time.
Okay.
And we set up these huge screens And we just ran, you know, just ran all sorts of video and, you know, stuff on the background. The guy Strike came back in that year and just kind of his mouth just dropped open because he had taken this dusty barn and turned it into what looked like an actual nightclub at that point. And, you know, we moved to the tent, you know, the first year we did, the screens were kind of back projection, or they weren't back projection, but the screens were in the back and the booth was up front. The second year we did that, we had to redo the whole thing because somebody set the stage up in the wrong place. So all the measurements that that Jeremy had taken from the previous years was just gone. I mean, right. Absolutely wrong. So then we had just built we built a custom screen in front of the booth at that point. So if you go find some of the pictures of that, all the projections hanging, you know, happening around the DJs, but every single year it was different. And you know, we were pulling in, probably about between 800 to 1600 people walking through there a night.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was with the festival dying. So yeah. It was an experience. And then, like you said, we had CDs that we were giving out.
Yep.
There are four of them. And I still have some of the last one, probably about 20 or 30 of them that we didn't give out. But people were coming back by that fourth year just to get that CD.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty
okay. So we can hang out there, and I love it. But so let's progress. So you're starting to get involved in the music scene. You guys have done some pretty rough reviews, and now what's happening?
Well, we did the whole Tasty Fresh thing, or the after hours stuff, and at that point, probably about right around 2009, we kind of started talking about putting a label together. And we being Kevin O'Neill, myself, and then we brought in Chris Ritchie to help us out. And you might know him. His name was – he went by D-Flash.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. And so we kind of didn't know what we were doing. And we had put together $750, and we started what became known as Mark 837. That's MK837. Or the Bible verse, Mark 8:37, which was
right. And what is that offhand?
So that is essentially, and it's like, why don't I commit this one to memory? It seems like an important one. But it's
yeah,
you know, it should be, but you know, what can a man gain if he loses his soul?
Right.
And we kind of looked at that from several different perspectives. There's the obvious Christian spiritual perspective of your soul is the most valuable thing out there. You need to guard it. You need to protect it. You really need to hand it over to Christ, right?
Yeah, right, right.
And then there was the other aspect of it that music should be soulful and it should have standards.
Yeah.
And quality. And that's kind of where we were going with that as well. It also was ironic because the way we got to that was Tasty Fresh had a podcast called Tasty Fresh Presents.
Yes.
I would abbreviate TFP. Okay. We were desperate for a label name, and I finally said, you know, what is TFP on a phone? So we transpose those into, you know, the keypad on your phone with the numbers there. And then we also realized that the numbers from that were 8, 3, and 7.
Oh, wow.
So then we're like, okay, so that sounds like a Bible verse. What matches that? And then we did a search and came up with it from there. That's how we got the name. From that, so
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cryptic. There are days when I regret it because I'm like, it's not very memorable.
Yeah, right.
But it's, you know, pretty good.
Sorry, I have a guy showing off how impressive his motor is. Sorry about that.
Just compensating for something. No, but so that was our first release, came out in 2010. We started out with like doing 26 releases for the first couple of years. And we kind of, that has varied. And our most successful years were when we were doing weekly releases. And so we just started doing that again.
Yeah.
And I mean, a little behind the scenes on that, I guess, because I don't hide stuff like I probably should. you know, we're not a huge label at overall. We're just not.
Right.
But we're averaging, you know, somewhere between 120 and 217 tracks that we've sold per quarter.
Yeah.
For the last 10 years. So it's really still very niche, but we've kind of also figured out how to promote on Beatport. And okay. So it's kind of amazing that our label shows up on features a lot. We get into the charts fairly often, and all that's not just because of the music is actually quality. It's because there's so few labels and artists who are really pushing their music.
True.
And they're not marketing themselves in effective ways, and they're getting upset about it, or they don't know what to do, or they're just happy to have a release out. The real money in all this, unfortunately, is still gigging. It's not selling the music itself.
So,
I'll
push back on it just a little bit, because your stuff is great quality, my friend. I mean,
I'm not denying that.
Okay.
Don't hear me wrong.
Okay.
Don't hear me wrong. I think we've got a really good label. I think, and this is, and I tell my artists this, if they would get out and push harder on their stuff, we would really be going somewhere. I can only do so much.
Yeah, right, right. Okay. No, I'm with you.
But I was looking it up the other day. I think it was, we just had a release by Joe Rowe. And we were talking about, I've got to scroll way back in the chat right now to find it. But for last Friday, there were about 700 melodic house and techno tracks released just on Friday.
Wow.
When another tech house release of ours dropped in February, we were looking at competition of about 10,000 tracks. Right, Joe. Right now, his track is sitting in like at number 30 in Melodic House and Techno.
Man, that's crazy! Wow,
the hype chart. Not there. So there are two charts. You got to understand this. There are two charts. There's like the baby chart and the big chart for a lot of the genres. He's in the baby chart still, but
still,
Joe has a capability to get into the overall top 100. I know that. Because we did that with one of his songs during the height of COVID.
That's awesome.
So,
golly, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, so I know we can push the stuff, but we just got to get there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you. So I love it. And that's currently, it's rushing a little bit. So that kind of brings us up to current date. You got an artist that's in the baby list, but still top 30 going on. So my audience, so for No Longer Hopeless podcast, I was looking at the other day. We're reaching around 30 countries around the world just with this message, and it's simple. Like the name of the podcast is No Longer Hopeless. That's what this is about. Is like no matter where you are in life, whatever's going on right here, right now, there's hope to be found. So my question to you, Dave, is what is your message to the audience of No Longer Hopeless podcast?
Pregnant pause.
Wait for it.
No, I mean, you've got to trust God.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he has a plan for your life or get into any of that stuff. But what I've learned is the more you plan for it, the more likely God is going to have you doing something other than what you planned.
Okay.
You know? But you've got, there's all, and it applies a wide variety of things.
Sure.
During COVID, I almost died.
Wow.
Because I got it in 2021, right over Christmas. I spent a month in the hospital, most of that in the ICU. And then I was on oxygen at home for another 6 months after that.
Oof.
I'm alive, obviously. Am I 100% better? No, but some of that's also my own stupidity because I'm not like going out and exercising somehow.
Yeah.
But throughout that, I can't say my wife and son were calm. I was calm. So,
yeah.
I was at peace with whatever was going to happen. Although I did pay my life insurance while I was in there and accidentally sent them an extra zero. So I had to get that straightened out when I got back, but that's neither here nor there,
right?
But it's a matter of you need to get to a place where you trust God and just understand that he's in control. You are not going to live one day longer than he wants you to. And there's nothing you can really do to change that. So as long as you're breathing, he's not done with you yet. And there's something for you to be doing. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Speaking of the breathing, that's exactly right. Like on the podcast, we have a little thing for a trailer, and when you play it and stuff, the gist of it is this, is where I'm telling the people who's listening, say, hey, we're going to do a little test and I'll do it with you. Take a breath of air, inhale and exhale. It's like, all right, you passed. As long as you have breath, you have the chance to be no longer hopeless. You know, you have the chance to actually trust in the Lord. You have the chance right here, right now, to turn everything over to the Lord right now. But you have to do it while you're breathing. that's the caveat.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. So just, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I want to make sure I'm getting this right. So your message, if it boiled down, is no matter what, good, bad, or ugly, trust God.
Pretty much.
That's it. Huh? There you go.
That's pretty much. There's not much else you can do because it's right. You're not in control.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter how much you like to be, it's not you.
it's not you. It's the chaos around you is actually chaos around you that you can't control.
And there you go. We'll
give it up to God and let him control it. It'll make more sense to him anyway.
Hey, man. So what would be the best way for my audience to connect with you? Like what would you recommend?
Well, if you're on Facebook, there's still a group of us that gets together from Tasty Fresh. So, go do a search on Tasty Fresh, one word, TASTY Fresh, you know, kind of like you want your popcorn, tasty and fresh. Yes. And yeah, that is where the name came from. But do a search for the group there, and you can join us and talk to me and talk to some of the old school people there.
Okay.
We're not very active, but we are there. If you want to check out the music,
yeah,
K837.com is the website. But again, we're on Facebook, as MKA37. Obviously we're on Beatport. I would love to direct you to iTunes or Spotify. All our music is on there, but they don't track labels. So you've got to kind of know the artist there. My artist name is Dave Richards. You can search on me there. So
I'm just a plug here for you and on your MK website, that would be the best way to get to your mailing list?
Yes, that would be.
Okay. So just, so audience, it's MK837.com or Facebook, Tasty Fresh, or if you want to be adventurous, do some searching for Dave Richards on Spotify or iTunes. If you get a chance to say again.
In fact, let me give you one more. Okay. You go to MK837.com/free-for-you, one word. You can sign up to the mailing list there and get 10 tracks from us for free.
Oh, perfect. There you go. So that's awesome. Even better. So whenever you connect, however you do, if you can let Dave know that you heard about him on the No Longer Hopeless podcast, that would be great. We'd love to just know how he's getting mentioned and known, and do our favor, pass out the word about him and his music and just great things. So listen, if you have found this conversation we've had been hopeful, been full of just a change of direction for you, a breath of fresh air, encouraging, that I need you to pass it on to others. I need you to let other people know. Because here's the deal. I can get the message of No Longer Hopeless out to you, but I need you to get the message out to other people. So if you can like, share, subscribe, whatever that looks like for you on the podcast platform of your choice, that would really be a help to us. It helps the algorithms, helps the podcast get out there. And we'll be able to do more interviews like this. And so, Dave, thanks so much. Thanks for taking time. Thanks for sharing what's on your heart. And thanks for doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Right on. All right. Well, thanks so much. And let's see what happens next week.
That wraps up this episode of No Longer Hopeless. If you found this to be an encouragement to you, then please subscribe so not to miss out when another goes out. If you can think of anyone who might benefit from this podcast, then I ask that you please share it. We would love to hear from you. Connect with us on Facebook by searching for LNL Ministries, or you can email us at nolongerhopelesspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, as long as you have breath within you, then you can still have the chance to be no longer hopeless.